Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And what a glorious day this is, and May 3rd. God, we're having crazy stuff happening down out here in the Southern California. There's a lot of burning and burning and burning out there. Fires have erupted. So all those out there, be safe. The one thing I feel really bad about are the animals that are being affected by all these fires. So with those out there, especially in the brush area, be careful, please. No throwing cigarettes, no smoking, no matches. One spark can cause some serious stuff. And anyway, my thoughts and prayers for those who are going to be affected. And of course, the animals and such that are out there too. Anyway, I got a very, very glorious, a very special show. I've had him on multiple occasions. It's been actually, I think, about 2 years now. I think it was poignantly highlighted after I saw a documentary called Osiris, which deals with both free energy as well as extraterrestrials. So I think it was poignant to have him once again on my show. Again, you probably have heard him before on multiple shows on mine, and like I said, a couple years past. He is an actual contactee of the Orion factions, one of them he'll explain. His name is Phil Kaseski. And Phil, are you still there?
I'm here, Andrew.
Okay, glad you got all together there. I was wondering there if we almost lost you for a bit. I know in the past we've talked a lot, and just so people who know who you are and how it came about, and I don't want to get pretty specific because I know this is going to be a lot of stuff we're probably going to get into this show, especially with extraterrestrial events, but I know in particular with issues that are happening around the world and particularly in the Middle East. First of all, I'd like to know, let them know what your immediate background is and then how you sort of got become in contact. I mean, people were wanting to say, hey, do I walk down the street and somebody taps you on the head? And by the way, I'm an extraterrestrial. How this came about, and can you explain specifics? A little bit of your background leading into that. Thanks.
Sure. Well, yeah, briefly, this started occurring for me back in 1993 when I went out to Pine Bush. And anyway, I'm a researcher. I got into all this stuff after reading Ellen Crystal's book, Silent Invasion, which is all about her experiences with various extraterrestrial craft that she had seen out in the immediate vicinity of Pine Bush area. So anyway, I went out there with a friend and we saw something and we got it on video, so that really captured my interest in the area. So I started coming back more and more and started seeing these orange pulsing lights all over the horizon. They would just pop up above the tree lines out of nowhere. And I started getting this on more on video. And then at one point, after filming one such night of filming these orange pulsing lights, I returned home and I was meditating and I suddenly got a communication, mind-to-mind communication from a voice inside my mind communicating with me, introducing herself. It was a feminine-sounding voice and she was telling me she was one of the pilots of these craft, their triangular ships, and that she was from the constellation Orion, and that they're here in Orange County. They have been here for a very long time. She told me since the building of the Great Pyramids, which goes back 15, 25,000 years. So, she just introduced herself, told me that they look like us with some variations. They're a little bit taller than us. They tend to have a wider, oval-like, cat-like eyes, and they have almost superhuman types of abilities due to the fact that they have implants, biotic implants that increase their mental and physical and human abilities, like paranormal telekinetic type of abilities. Some of what she told me about these things is almost unbelievable. It sounds so sci-fi and so just incredible how far advanced they are.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's just funny you just said that, because I was just watching yesterday on Netflix a show called Continuum, and I just watched a bit of it, and the girl had these implants in her brain that able to, it was almost like a download computer chip, and then it was like, wow, and they had all these biotics. It's weird. And you're talking about stuff that I had a scientist on my show several weeks that said in 30 years we're heading into a direction where we're going to have robots, but we're going to have these robotic kind of systems attached to our bodies, so it's going to change us drastically.
Yeah, it's a fascinating subject and a science, you know, it's a whole science in itself. And she actually told me that they can spawn these implants, they spawn it in a very organic type of way, but without any cuttings or anything in the flesh, they do it through some superluminal type of tachyon-based technology where, they don't have to cut the flesh or anything, but they can spawn a quite organic, in a quite organic process, they spawn the implant inside them. And it can be it's small, it can be like metallic, but it's still quite organic, and she says it adheres to the brain stem. And she says that the whole process can take under a minute, and that's how fast it is.
Wow.
With their technology. But anyway, you might want to go on to some other questions.
But anyway, like I was going to ask you now, after you met them, one thing I remember you had explained in an earlier show, it sounds like, you know, me hashing stuff, that's why I know.
Right.
But one thing I want to know is, I remember in the past show that when you first had an initial engagement one-on-one, this was you done through your mind, but when you first sort of like actually like in your presence, you had to, you told me how to do some kind of meditation kind of thing to change your wavelength in your
brainwaves. Yes.
So that otherwise you'd be, they got too near us, like you basically, your head would explode just from, it'd be like a buzzing or something like that, you know.
Exactly. It's due to their much more evolved mental vibrations, which can be quite intense, as well as their emotions, which is why she told me to really practice the deep meditation. It's kind of like TM in a sense, where you enter, a very quiet state, and you just focus on like a mantra, like Om, O-M, or A-U-M, Om, and you just focus on that and keep repeating it inside your mind, feeling the vibrations, letting them soak in, and it just changes you and gets you into that deeper delta, gamma, and theta state, which those are the ideal states that she told me to aim for, was to get into these delta, gamma, and theta states of brainwave vibrations, because that's the states that are, very relaxed, and that's the states they're usually in a lot of the time.
So let me ask you something getting more poignant to the Orions. You said, what faction are the Orions? Because people think of Orions and they don't realize there's a broad spectrum of races, just like and species, if you want to call it, of Orions, and also everything's Orion. Just it is a collective.
Right.
It's like saying all our solar system. Basically.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, they are a humanoid species from the Orion Nebula. It's a specific area in Orion from where they're from, which is a little bit under the Sword and Belt stars of Orion, deep within the Orion Nebula, where there's all kinds of activity going on. There's their ancient lineage, which she told me is one of the most oldest within Orion, and they're humanoid. There are also many other species in Orion. Some are like fish-like, reptilian-like. These are from Rigel and some of the other areas of Orion, like Betelgeuse, and some of these others are like where the tall grays are from. These are a little bit different, evolved than the Orions, but the Oxycarians, which is their real name, Orion name. She told me it's called Oxycarian. And so they're from the nebula region and from a star called Latus. They call Latus, but it's not called Latus in the English language, but she said there's no equivalent for it yet because they haven't really found it. But there's all kinds of solar and astronomical activity that's been occurring in Orion, which is one reason why, I might say right up front, is one reason why she had to depart and go back to the Orion system last year. I haven't heard from it, Ben. I hadn't had a contact with her for about a year now.
Okay.
She had to go back to Orion system because lots of solar activity was threatening the orbital pattern of their planet within their system, and they had to go back and do a lot of stuff. And she's also been told me that she had to go back because she's been training other various militaries throughout the galaxy. They have like a patrol or a federation it's like a galactic military that keeps a watch on our galaxy, and they're all federated together, and they train each other. And Abena was going around training various other militaries within the system with new technologies and new tactical type of reconnaissance type flights and patterns and things like this. So that's another reason why she had to depart and go out of New York. She hasn't been in New York for a while. She told me she makes it back maybe once a month.
But she's gone, but there's still her personal. That's your personal contactee, but the Orions are still, from what you told me, I stay in that area all
the time. Oh, yeah, they're still there. They're still there. In fact, I filmed their ships a little bit last year, but not quite as close as Abena used to let me film her ship, because she specifically told me that she had to get real permission from their superiors in order to let me film her ship. She said the other ones weren't granted authorization to come as close as she did with her ship when she opened contact with me. So, you know, there was a few of the other Orions that would let me film their ships too, but not quite as close as Abena did.
Let me ask you this, because in that area in Orange, New York, and by the way, it's not Orange, California, Orange County, California, for everybody in California, it's in New York. Isn't that the area, from last time you had spoken to, you had mentioned that there's issues of, like, you don't, they like, U.S. military is not even allowed to go within that area for something. You were mentioning, maybe I'm not explaining it right, but you had mentioned before that they are not allowed to enter that area because the Orions are basically told, hey, get your ass out kind of thing.
Well, it's kind of like that, but it's... The military, the U.S. military and intelligence society agencies know about this particular group of Orions. And there was some kind of an agreement reached with them, but they started to break it, some of these agreements. And that created a little bit of hostility for the Oxycarians when this happened. And there was one particular... Black Ops, I may call it a Black Ops group that the Orions call the Brigade, which is a universal Black Ops groups within the U.S., United States, and they're particularly out in the Southwest. But they're all over. And anyway, they attempted to, you know, because the Orions had some kind of tech trade going on with them at one point, and they were giving them a very minimal amount of, like, tech transfer trades and things like this. And the interrelations between the two started to grow more and more distant. And finally, this Black Ops group, I think it was in 2010, like the end of the summer, they made an outright attack on the Oxycarians, one of their ships. I think it was somewhere over in Norway or Sweden at the time, and they brought down one or two of the Oxycarian ships and took captives of one of these Oxycarian pilots. I remember Benna telling me this, and she had to break contact with me at one point when we were having a contact, and she had to fly off, and they had to go and rescue their pilot friends that were taken hostage by this Black Ops group. Now, some of these Black Ops groups have gotten alien technology, and they can start all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, but wouldn't they be a little bit, as much as they may have alien technology against the Orions that they have, they're not even close to a pinpoint to even, it's like, you know, as far as it'd be like, you know, a guy with a slingshot with somebody who has a, you know, a RPG in front of them. I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, considering the nature of Black Ops technology. A lot of people really don't know how much they got. They do have quite a bit of stuff. A lot of these Black Ops groups are actually flying alien craft. They have craft that rivals some of the alien stuff. They may be a little bit behind in their learning. You know, they're not as adept as, of course, the aliens, which are centuries ahead of them. But they still have quite a bit of technology, and they can cause real trouble. Like I said, they brought down a couple of the ships because they have. Benna told me they got a hold of some kind of alien technology of a reptilian nature, which was very quite advanced, and it was able to screw up their navigational system and bring their ships down. And so they had to go and rescue them, and you know, that caused all kinds of trouble for the brigade, of course, because the Oxycarians, after that happened, shut down this particular Black Ops group, and they really just wiped out a couple of their bases out in the Southwest. They just disabled them completely. I don't know if I can tell the whole thing, but they knocked them out of their abilities and their powers, brought their transmissions down. So they're not quite able to do what they were able to do prior to the Oxycarians taking revenge on them for what they did. I mean, there was an outright attack. It was a war, actually.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like a small war.
So let me ask you this: with all that stuff, how come okay? Let me put it this way: what is the intent or agenda, or has she been disclosed to you? Like, why isn't there in full disclosure, or I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the agenda, what the premise of the Orions being here, and first of all, interacting with humans, but then keeping sort of the directive in Star Trek, not being involved with human history, but they seem to be interacting in human history. So, I'm trying to figure out what is their attention or agenda, since they sound like very Star Trek. They do have protocol and agendas and methods and
things. Yeah, first of all, the whole reason they're here underground is, she told me, is because there is a lot of incredible amount of minerals, very rare minerals, under Orange County, New York, deep down under the earth. And they're way, way down there, and they have a huge underground base, and they are extracting minerals and doing various processes down there. It's very industrial, she told me. And, you know, they're utilizing these minerals and manufacturing, you know, like going through various processes, making metal alloys for spaceships and various other things, elements that go into their technologies. So that's one of the first chief reasons why they're there. The second reason is that they are under a mandate and direction from the Universal Intelligence, or the Creator, to watch over Earth, to keep an eye on us, because they're actually protecting us and helping us against other various races that want to take the Earth over, like reptilians, of course. The reptilians are their enemies as well as ours, and they are keeping a tab or putting a limit to how much these reptilians can do on Earth. Mm-hmm. And there are various wars that we know nothing about that are being fought between the Oxycarians and reptilians over Earth that we hear nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
They're keeping, you know, they're keeping a tab on it, keeping an eye on us. You know, that's the second reason. They kind of have like a duty to perform this, to help us, to assist us.
That's weird.
And, that's
weird because I wrote a book back in called When the Angels Have Risen.
Yeah.
I have no clue what that you're talking about. That exact is about that. There's a two factions of wars going on outside what we can see. And we may think it's a thunder or out of something bizarre, but there's actually in a different dimension kind of thing. A fight because they're basically cloaked fighting amongst themselves, and there's like two. That's why we have such a merger of influence, I guess you can call it. There's a reptilian or dark side of extraterrestrials influencing humanity, and then there's a positive influence. So that's why you have such a duality of concepts and things. Is that
sure? Yeah, that's exactly the way it is. And you know, on the in between, there's various other races too that are here that are more neutral. Like the Pleiadians, they really don't get involved as much. You know, they just keep to themselves pretty much, keep to one contactee. You know, that's just one group of Pleiadians. I'm specifically talking about Billy Myers type of Pleiadians from their group. But
what would you say about the advent of abductions? Were your stories about, has she ever explained to you about the abductions that you hear about where people are being subjected to with maybe implants or probed? Or then there's talks I've heard of hybrids being produced.
Oh yeah, that's definitely going on. And she told me a little bit about it, that some of these grays are actually clones from some of the larger species of grays. From Orion, and some of them are outcasts. They actually live on Earth, so they can't. They've been banned from ever going back to Orion, and some of them are just permanently stationed under Earth. Like some of them are down in the Southwest areas, and they're cloning a lot of these grays, and some of these are just clones, and they go out and abduct. You know, and they do all kinds of things, you know, with hybrids. And in fact, in my last contact with Abena, which was March 2012, last year, she had mentioned that she had, when they went to close down some of the brigade group, she actually picked up a hybrid Earth reptilian. She was a hybrid reptilian Orion Rigel female. That she, not captured, but she freed from, she told me she was like a super soldier. She was being a hybrid. She was groomed for being a super soldier for the brigade to go out and do all these various missions. And she was treated she was very abused. You know, these super soldiers can be very abused by these black ops groups. And she told me that Abena rescued and took as her own, adopted this female hybrid, and she's been taking care of her. She told me her name was Laitha, and so Laitha is now part of the Oxycarians, and she told me quite a bit about this in our last contact last March. That was the last time I spoke with her.
Well, can I ask, I know it's been a bit, but I don't want to get, because and this is more, I know we're getting into specifics, and I just want to get so people know there was a personal and variable conversation that things that were going back and forth, so they had that background. And I apologize for getting too much into that, but I just want to see it's not like it's not like something, it's more real than in people can realize of what's going on. And your relationship with Abena is very much real and almost like a personal relationship. But now on a global sense, I know you, from the past, you've had a lot of conversations with her from the various times I've had you on my show and various personal conversations. You've discussed where there's been disclosure of things that she would advise and say what's going to happen within humanity in different parts of the world, like in the Middle East and such. And I want to also get into the parallels to within the Bible itself, which often refer to the Orions, which specifically was Ezekiel. But I want to get that to later, last part of the show. But tell me about what she, in her conversation about last year or so, when you updated you with information of what you were disclosed in, whether it's with our relationship with extraterrestrials, with the global situation, with humanity at large. I don't even, I'm just throwing a shotgun out there. I don't even know what she talked to you about in a
right.
sense.
Well, she told me in March last year, in fact, I got it right here. I pulled it up and we got to the discussion about 2012, you know, how things are going to pick up, you know, near 2012 in December and all that. And then she said, well, Abena told me, she says, well, Israel will be attacking the terrorist element called Hamas in November. Now, she told me this in March. And she says, perhaps even Iran and Korea can't wait to get involved, she said. And then I said, oh, my, I know Israel wants to take out the nuclear threat in Iran, that's certain, as well as neutralize Hamas within Palestine. Abena said, I think we both know that that won't end well, especially while America is allied with Israel and China is allied with Iran. I said, yes, I believe all that turmoil over there will cause the coming of the one in the Bible prophecies known as the beast. I said, this leader will have a regional and global security plan. I don't want to go into that right now, but she did tell me, she did predict back in March, she told me that Israel would attack Hamas in November of 2012, and that's exactly what happened.
Israel attacked, that was subjected because of all the increasing rocket fire.
Yeah, that's right, right. So it was a totally justified excursion by Israel into, you know, into the West Bank. I mean, not the West Bank, I mean, what is it?
Gaza,
where the Hamas element is, and Israel will not tolerate that kind of threat, you know, and, you know, Abena is very much on the side of Israel, you know, I mean, she's totally, she understands what, you know, the Creator has chosen the Jewish people. She understands this, believes it, and has said it many times to me that, it, you know, much of what is in our Bible is true. Some of it's allegorical, but a lot of it is literally true.
That's amazing, you know, it's amazing to say, because so I always get blown away, and this I know I want to get into this right now is
yep.
By the way, I've had numerous conversations with not just you but even the Hopi in particular. They struck a very similar talk about in the book of Ezekiel, which of course is he's the guy. If everybody reads it, he's literally, you know, the spinning wheels and all that stuff. He's talking to extraterrestrials, and the extraterrestrials came in, you can say, with I believe, but even people don't realize, like, you know, there's God, you know, there's extraterrestrials come in, the being, and people think they're God, but there's a God had to send the extraterrestrials, you know.
He wanted Ezekiel to know, and therefore the Jewish people, the Israelis, he wanted them to know that he created other people within the universe, and they are not the only ones.
Right.
In the universe.
Right. Exactly.
And some of this may conflict with a lot of theological, it may burst the bubbles of a lot of theological people that can't think outside of the box yet. I'm speaking specifically
right.
of Orthodox, right. I'm speaking specifically of fundamentalist Christians that
right.
are really so rabid and so unintelligent that they can't calm down enough to realize that the Creator is a lot bigger and has created has created other humans than themselves within his creation.
Right.
And so, Ezekiel had contacts with people from other planets. And
my question is, my question with you on this, though, I was always curious, was that with Orion specifically, or was it with
others? Abena didn't tell me if it was them, their people. I think it was pretty... it was with people from Ganymede, extraterrestrials that live on Ganymede. Now, these were once which came from the Orion system, but many, many thousands of years ago, maybe like 50,000, 25,000 years ago, they were within the Orion system, and then they came to our solar system, and they lived on a planet that used to be between Mars and Jupiter, and now it's the asteroid belt, and it was called Malona, or Maldek, or something like this.
Okay.
And they had a war there, destroyed their planet, blew it to bits, and then became the asteroid belt. And then before that happened, you know, a remnant from Mount Malona moved to one of the moons on Jupiter, which is Ganymede, and they forged a new civilization there. And this group from Ganymede, I'm pretty certain, were the ones that came and visited Ezekiel.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I had some contact, too, from a female from Ganymede named Ramadas, or Rama. And she actually visited me several times back in 1993 in the Boston area, where I was living at the time. And she came and let me see herself. She was with a girlfriend who, incidentally, later, Abena confirmed was her cousin. I forget her name. She told me her name of her cousin. But anyway, she told me that Ramadas wanted to let me see her and let me know, because I was reading all about them at that time, about them. And they were just following me around for like a week. And I was seeing them almost every day on the transportation lines. I'd see them at the supermarket, and I'd say, "Wow, what is this? I keep running into these two."
Wow, that's pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
Getting back to the other thing is, and by the way, everyone, whatever your beliefs are, I highly recommend you read Ezekiel. But there's a thing I got to explain. But when people read it in English, it does say, in Hebrew, it'll say son of man. And that in Hebrew is called Ben Adam. And Ben Adam in Hebrew literally means humanity. So when he's saying son of man, he's not saying a son of man. He's really saying, I'm talking to you, humanity. We're talking to you, humanity. So when he was talking to Ezekiel, he's talking, when he uses the phrase son of man, when you read English, that's really saying humanity. Ben Adam in Hebrew is not, in literal sense means son of Adam. But it really means, that's how you say humanity in Hebrew, is Ben Adam.
Wow, that's very interesting. Yeah, humankind, right?
Yeah, so that's what they was talking to. And what's interesting when you're talking about, and people just lit up, I don't want to get divulged too much into it, but it really is bizarre how things are happening in the Ezekiel, in the Bible and stuff. Because, you know, we have free choice and prophecy set out there, but sometimes things are, we end up leaning in front of our noses instead of our legs. So, like, you know, there's a passage, it talks about the, first of all, everybody you'll see about, talks about the Jews scattered away and then reborn, which is the famous quote of dry bones, rebirth of a nation, brought together. It talks about later in these regards, what we're talking about right now, about Mount Gog, which is Iran, rising up. It even talks about Egypt, by the way, all of a sudden friendly and all of a sudden being assholes toward Israel, by the way. And then it talks about the seven-year disaster to Egypt, and look what's happening now in Egypt. It talks about how in Turkey, which is of the north of those tribes, first that were allied with Israel becomes enemy of Israel, and look what's happening. It talks of then how people think they got Israel in the ropes, right, which they've been thinking in the last 5-10 years. And then all of a sudden, they become so drunk with their hatred, they start killing each other. And then what's starting in Syria is just a very, I literally see the big, it's not really a war between, it's going to be a war brother against brother, like it says in Ezekiel, which is a Shiite-Sunni thing starting off with, like what's happening in Syria. And once Assad goes, there goes into Lebanon. And then you have the Sunnis, which are back behind the Saudis. And then you have the Iraqis on one side. So, and since you're right on, it says Russia and China. I think it was actually Russia, not China. I don't know. I think it was actually becomes behind Iran. And the U.S., ironically, is behind the Sunnis, which is the Saudis. And Israel's basically benign in this while everybody's getting, they're wiping each other out. And then there's supposed to be, not by, it says literally by the hand of God, again, they try to rise up against Israel, and it's out of, not by the hand of God, but by Israel, but by God itself, where all of a sudden a natural disasters happen within, toward, you know, from east of the Jordan all the way through Iraq to, particularly with Iraq, and which comes into an area where maybe there, if Iran intends to attack Israel with or develop their nukes, I know Israel has the ability to produce EMs or EMPs, they're called, which are electromagnetic propulsion weapons, which will literally put Iran in the Stone Age, which is sort of still goes in parallel what you're talking about. And I always felt they had that sort of technology anyway. So,
yes.
It's weird how all this stuff, but I'm curious when you were talking about, you said something to the effect with them since the time of the pyramids and stuff. So, what?
Yeah, go on.
So I know I'm going a lot of different things on my own thing, and I know people want to hear what you said. I apologize. But what was Abina's thoughts toward the attempt of Iran producing nuclear weapons, the Muslims, because let me put it this way. There's just, and this is just, you know, I know I'm not PC, I'm the opposite. I tell things how they are.
I'll tell you this. She has told me some very classified information, which I suppose I could leak a little about. Too much of it might get me in trouble, but she told me that, yes, they are watching a lot of the, they intervene, she told me, sometimes when they are allowed to. They are allowed to intervene within Earth nation affairs. Certain nations that may be harnessing new kinds of technologies, they will intervene and they'll mess up their technology. They'll make it so that they'll be set back for decades or even months or years. Some of their technology, they'll just foul it up and screw it up in a way that you know, it looks like a self-inherent mistake that their own physicians, their own researchers made that those types of mistakes. They can do this through their high technologies, and they will intervene sometimes and screw things up on certain Earth nations when they are allowed to. So she told me she's done this with various nations. I will not name the nations, but she herself told me that she flew various recon missions in which she actually participated and did this against certain Earth nations that were threatening to do real injurious harm to another nation. And this is another reason why the Oxycarians are on Earth, because they're watching and preventing us from killing each other, and blowing each other off the map.
So did she disclose how we... You know, what is she anticipated? I know she told you up to...
Oh, yeah, she gave me the graphic details of what she did, but I don't think I'm allowed to exactly for security reasons exactly how they did it.
Yeah, no,
that will get, that might get me in real hot water if I do that. She warned me not to. She warned me not to give the graphic details.
Okay, I don't want to. I understand that. I was talking about understanding that
the method or means that she used.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to the general area, but particularly in the Middle East, because for some reason everybody's focused on the Middle East.
Sure.
Did she disclose anything other than what she disclosed about what happened, you know, with Israel and the...
Well, yes. She told me that, you know, the prophecies of Ezekiel are going to be literally fulfilled, and they will come to pass as predicted, especially when Iran, Russia, Libya, a bunch of these Muslim countries are all going to become federated, and they are going to want to wipe Israel completely off the map, and they will make a move. They, at some point, it will be the last straw, something that happens within Israel, and I think it will be, I'll tell you in a minute, what I, in a few seconds here, what I think it will be that will cause the last straw, but All these nations will be federated. It'll be this Russian, Muslim, Middle Eastern confederacy that's going to, they're going to want, an evil thought will come into them to want to come and just take the land and liberate it and give it back to the Palestinians. This is, they think a terrible injustice is happening with the Palestinians and Israel. And the Muslims, the Islamic nations of this country will never agree to Israel, though they, you know, they may agree to a temporary peace in exchange for land and a nation. And now we're getting into the fulfillment of prophecy in the beginning of the last 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, which, according to Daniel's prophecies, ties into Ezekiel's as well. We're getting into the last, it's called the last 1 week or 7 years.
And where is that in Daniel, by the way? Do you know?
Daniel 9, chapter 9, 26 through 30. And Daniel chapter 10 and 11 go, the whole, all those chapters, 9, 10, and 11, all relate to the end times within Israel. In the beginning of the last week, prophetic week of 7 years. And Abena told me that this week of 7 years will be literally fulfilled, and it will come to pass as Daniel had it revealed to him in his visions, predictions.
So these are the 7 years, we're right in the 7 years right now, or just
not yet? Not yet. The beginning of this 7 year week in Daniel will begin with the signing of an agreement of a prince out of Europe or Rome. In Daniel it says he is the prince of the people who destroyed Jerusalem, will come, and he will confirm an agreement for 1 week with the people, with Israel. And this begins the 7 years. Whoever this prince...
Sounds like Tony Blair.
I think it's probably going to be Tony Blair.
Well, he's already being nominated to be the president of
Europe. Yep. I just saw that.
And then he's also coming off like he's still the one. They're already talking about having him sent to Israel and to the Middle East to try to formulate a peace agreement. You have already the Saudi agreement now being readjusted with the Arab initiative. And then a matter of a year or 2 years, you're going to see something sort of implied. But you know what? The only thing I see that actually being not happening, to tell you the truth, is, you know, cause there's still a little of what they call free will to a lot of extent. I don't think that's ever going to fall into place, except for if I think the biggest key to that thing is going to be what happens in Jordan, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, things will happen. Well, there's an interesting scripture in Daniel that says that, which is determined, will be done. So there is a certain predestination that, will happen. Now, either these predictions were 100% foolproof, I believe they were, because when the prophets predicted that certain things will happen, they end up happening.
Right.
Other than that, if they don't, then they were false prophets, and we shouldn't listen to them.
Well, no, they're old saying there's a thing like, okay, this is how you look at, in reality of things, there's a destined situation happens, and it means you may go a longer road or short road, and eventually heads there. So maybe they do this, they get to that, but and no matter what, I
agree with you. Major events of like, the outcome of nations and destinies and certain things like that, those are predestined by the Creator, and they will unavoidably happen. In between that, there is a thin line where human free will is taken into account, and we all have it, and we can choose certain paths and roads, but ultimately, those foreseen predestined events will happen regardless of our choices and our wills.
Now, my question to you is, what has being disclosed to you, why this is important?
Well, first of all, because of the Creator. First of all, humanity has not created itself, therefore does not own itself. It belongs to the Creator, and we exist for the Creator's pleasure and glory. We don't exist. Humanity does not exist for its own pleasure and its own glory, regardless of what people say. And regardless of delusions people are caught up in, we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for that intelligence that is superior, that created us. Mm-hmm. And we exist to learn what that is and to come into harmony with it. And everyone that does will be blessed, and everyone that doesn't will be cursed, or will suffer unhappiness and will suffer negative consequences. And this is what, you know, this covenant, this last 7 years is all about. It's going to be the Creator dealing with his people in the land over there again. New prophets are going to come. In fact, Elijah the prophet is coming, or two witnesses. I had mentioned this before. At the time that 7-year agreement is formulated and it's written and it's in force, the temple in Israel or Jerusalem will be rebuilt. That'll be part of the covenant, I'm pretty sure. These two prophets, Elijah, like Elijah, will come, and they will be speaking under inspiration from the Creator, and they will be revealing what is going to be happening on the earth. They will also be working various types of miracles, which we're getting back to what I think is going to cause the Federation of Iran, Russia, and all those Islamic nations to want to come down and actually make the attack against Israel. Once these two prophets are doing their work and predicting and prophesying and doing miracles, this Federation is going to become enraged at what these prophets are doing, because these prophets will be telling the people of Israel and Palestine what's going to happen, that the land belongs to the Jews, that the Palestinians are Esau and Edom, and they don't belong in the land.
Yeah, they're Edomite. People don't realize there's... funny you brought that up. Actually, so people realize the Palestinians are actually Edomites, and Edomites
and
are...
Philistines, yeah. They're a mix of Philistines and Edomites, yep.
Yeah, well, Philistines are actually from Greece, but... Aegean, but the Edomites, getting to what the Palestinians were, Edomites were from Edom, which are of lineage of Esau. So it is truly Isaac versus or Jacob, excuse me, versus Esau. So exactly. You still have, which is Israel against the Palestinians. But there's a famous, and people could look it up, there's a famous prophet of the Edomites. His name was
Obadiah.
And he literally said that, now you talk about prophecies coming true, he said, and he was talking in future too. If you ever read it in Hebrew, it's a really weird. He's talking in future tense, telling that his nation of the Edomites not to attack Israel, because if you do, you will be dispersed and go in different directions, which is what happened. He says there's an area where you're allowed to be. And by the way, the cutoff area where they're supposed to be is ironically in Gaza area only, just a little bit of south of Ashkelon, if you know, on the map of Israel, in that little area. That's actually the only designated area that's allowed to be the Palestinians or the Edomites area. Or they can go back where they're from, which is actually Syria. That's the Syria where they're originally from.
Well, when Elijah comes, these two witnesses, these two men that would be like the ancient prophets come and they're prophesying. In Jerusalem, they're going to be deciding all these issues. They're going to be speaking for the Creator, intervening, and they will be actually telling, you know, the seed of Esau, they have no claim, legal claim to the land, and they're going to tell them to leave, and they're going to enforce that by working. They're going to be plaguing that people with various types of plagues, like Moses did in Egypt, you know, hornets, you know, frogs, lice, water turned to blood, it says. They're going to turn water into blood. They're going to be able to shut up rains, you know, drought. They're going to cause a lot of havoc, and the whole world is going to hate these prophets for what they're doing. And it's not only going to be, they're not only going to be plaguing just the Palestinians and the Islamic nations for their hatred against Israel, they're going to be plaguing everybody that has hatred against Israel and hatred against the Creator and hatred against Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. They're going to be plaguing the entire world. The whole world's going to want to kill them. And it says once they are allowed, after 3.5 years of their they're prophesying. Mm-hmm. They will finally be captured and allowed to be put to death by the Antichrist or the beast. Some supernatural creature from the bottomless pit called Abaddon or Apollyon is going to rise up and make war against these two witnesses and finally kill them. And they will probably be crucified like Christ was. They're like the Messiah. They'll be crucified in Jerusalem, and after 3.5 days, their bodies will lie in the street, it says in the book of Revelation, and then they'll rise again. Mm-hmm. They'll rise up, and they'll ascend in front of all their enemies right up into the sky, into heaven, and disappear. And after that happens, so the Messiah is supposed to return back to this earth and set the world free from the various evil forces that are surrounding it, specifically the fallen angels, archangels.
So let Lucifer. Me to think outside the box. I know because we're using metaphors and whether it's
yes.
Jesus or whatever. See, I know people like whatever their attachments are and stuff. And you can say whether it's Jesus or Buddha or whatever. Wouldn't it be like, could this possibly be, I'm just saying, the hypothetical that you're talking about, that Jesus coming back is really actually an extraterrestrial being that in the manifestation that we may assume that is like a Jesus or whatever.
Right.
And then the extraterrestrial being is the one that actually, I don't like to use a rescuer because we basically are going to rescue ourselves. Because we're learning to, because we're actually all connected, and people, the hate and division thing is our problem.
Right.
So is coming to that person or whatever, leading of a faction, couldn't that possibly be an extraterrestrial, such as maybe possibly the Orions themselves or a leader of the Orions?
Well,
and then if they disclose themselves to people, they might be saying, well, you know, the people assume that's, because it comes in the same kind of, you know what I'm talking, sort of the...
Yes, I know various people are caught up in various methodologies, various specifics of different religions and messiahs and prophets and,
all right, but
you know, aliens, you know, a lot of these things all speak to one thing, that there will be some kind of major deliverance coming for Earth, and we know that's going to happen. We know something's going to happen. We know 2012 is, you know, we entered into a very dangerous time now. You know, all the poles are shifting even more and more since even last year.
Right.
A major alignment has occurred with the belt stars of Orion, with the Great Pyramid, which signified all of this, and that is happening more and more. That's why we're going to get even more solar storms this summer. Even over the last several months, we've had incredible solar storms.
Is that what we have at no sun? Another thing that's pretty bizarre, I have a friend of mine who's a solar scientist. He's been on my show a long time ago. I haven't had him in a bit, but he just debunked the whole global warming thing. He was talking about the solar because he's a solar scientist. And he was saying the most bizarre thing that they don't understand why yet is we haven't had any sunspots in the last 15, 20 years. And this, because of that, the solar, you're talking the solar flare increasing has been unmatched. And we've been getting increasing, and we might be get heat. There's still, even though we warded off temporarily last year, we were supposed to have a solar flare with that could affect our electronics. We're still being subjugated the possibility that in the future, which is sort of what you're talking about too.
Yeah, and Abena told me that, you know, after 2012, she said there would be like a new ice age and coming, and there would be lots of cold snaps all around. And just look at what's happening in Kansas and over the snowstorms over the past several. The jet stream has dipped down in this unbelievable way. It's causing winter to stay well into spring, right into, you know, the Midwest. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I have a very close friend of mine in Colorado. I was shocked. It was snowing last week, and we're in May, or it's snowing in Colorado. I mean, I was like, wow. Well, that's
crazy,
good for,
huh?
Good for skiing, but...
Once I saw that, I remember what Abena told me. She said there would be like a new ice age happening, or there would be lots of cold snaps, and winter would be still occurring well into the, you know, right up into summer.
Wow.
And this is, it's happening. She told me that back in 2010 when I had contacts with her, and that was happening, that this type of stuff would start to occur after 2012. And she said all the hate would start to be cleared after 2012 too. And now, like you said, humanity, we're all connected as a whole. Humanity is sickening and getting sick of all the hate and all the trouble, and you can see now that we're all trying to pull together and you know, become one. We know we have a serious problem on Earth. We have a serious problem within humanity. And
we become like our own cancer. You know, like cells in our body work together, but what is cancer is when there's like one thing, a cancer is leaving when cells think they're separate from the body, and we become our own cancer amongst ourselves and within Earth in itself. So
we are waking up. Even the most hardened and the most idiotic and the most materially attached people are recognizing something's wrong. But the more grosser elements within humanity will never understand. They know something's wrong, but they won't really understand what it is to find the kind of final deliverance that the people that really want it and are awake are going to find. There are a class of people that will awake and find that deliverance, while the other class they know something's wrong, but they're going to go on and on and on in the stubbornness of the old ways, and those people, sad to say, are not going to make it. They're just going to get wiped out in the calamities and the wars and everything else. It's going to be horrible.
And let me ask you this. The one thing I never understood is we have the ability to have free energy in humanity. We've had it for almost over 150 years. Yep. We've had even systems since the 70s to actually use water, for example. But we've always had radiant energy. And we still have systems of producing free energy and using anti-gravitational energy as well. But thinking that technology is there, and I know that's probably how Abena and the Alpha Light are ships using this kind of energy, because that's how they break into beyond the speed of light in order to go through wormholes.
Exactly,
why aren't we, when did she ever disclose when this is going to be disclosed? And the last thing is, when do you feel there's going to be two parts of this question? When there'll be disclosure that we have free energy, number one. Number two, when did she ever disclose if we're going to ever have, where's up, you know, it's an ominous disclosure of extraterrestrials that, yes, there are extraterrestrials. They aren't green, funny green men. That's the two last questions I got to ask you.
Right. So, all right, the first one about the free energy. Yeah, that has happened in small, you know, some disclosure has happened in a limited way since the use of the internet and everything. So a lot of that is being disclosed now, but as a whole, it won't be fully disclosed and given to us until after all the calamities, until after all the stubborn resistance of humanity is dealt with and put down. Then it will be, you know, revealed, and it'll be fully given to the human race, and you know, we will move on beyond all this fossil fuel crap.
Right.
And then the second part, what was the second part about the...
Okay, that makes sense. So when humanity, this technology...
Extraterrestrial, yes, the disclosure. Okay, yeah. Okay. That is going to happen. That'll happen. That's happening to some extent with various research, I mean, UFO contactees and people. It's happening with me in a limited kind of way. You know, it's getting out there. Other people like Dr. Stephen Greer is revealing it in a major way.
Right.
Movies and so, you know, a lot of stuff is happening that is already being disclosed. A lot of former military intelligence are blowing the whistle and revealing stuff. But the main source of it'll come out even more with I imagine with the Antichrist. He will capitalize on this and use it with his message a lot. So it'll come out even more in the next few years. With this whole New World Order system that's being established, which I believe is part of this Antichrist government that's going to encapsulate the planet,
right,
and take over the planet and, you know, force everybody to deal the way they want humanity to go. And, yeah, so that'll eventually happen. And then, you know, the two witnesses, those two prophets, of course, are going to have be having contacts, of course, with both the Creator and extraterrestrials and angels, all three at once. So they will keep an eye, you know, the two witnesses, these two prophets are going to be the ones to really listen to in the future when they appear on the scene in Jerusalem for their 3.5 year Exodus ministry or whatever. I mean, you know.
I got to say one thing, and then I want you to give out your closing stuff, but one thing that flows is sort of surprising, I forgot that Daniel talks about, isn't that ironic that Daniel, the guy, the prophet, probably the most righteous person in the entire Bible, is the one who helped Cyrus the Great, helped the Jews build their temple again. The same country who has denied Rumi, who is a Sufi Islam, where Daniel was right, helping Iran. The same region, ironically, is the place that's going to seems like the start of the major events. It's just like the economy, because the people there really want, because I know a lot of, right, really want to, they're like, they could literally, in a heartbeat, create peace within the Middle East, just, for example, with a woman rose up and all that, but there's so much totalitarian, Nazi-like regime and mullahs running the country that it's subjugated its populace.
Now, you're talking about Syria or Iran or both?
I'm talking about Iran, actually. And
yes.
I always felt that. And I had friends of mine who were involved with the Iranian Green Movement. And I
always they're according to the Book of Daniel, the Iranian airspace and the whole area over there is under a very wicked spiritual principality called the Prince of Persia. And this is a very evil, one of the fallen archons or archangels.
Yeah, but what I was getting to, isn't this, I'm just talking to me. I find it sort of ironic of a place called a guy, probably one of the greatest kings that ever lived, besides
Cyrus.
Who his prophet was, who was Daniel, who helped make him great.
It was actually the Lord or the Creator that that destined Cyrus to help, you know, help the Jews.
But it was like Daniel who his. What I'm trying to say is like Daniel was his help, is like his advisor that got him all those visions and told him he was like. You know what I'm saying? He was the guy behind the scenes telling what things, even though everything.
He was being used by the Creator.
Everything comes from the Creator. That's known to. I'm just saying it was sort of ironic of history today how the biggest.
That's interesting. Yeah,
is the person. That's sort of funny though. But I want to close off because I know we got off into a lot of different parts, and I'm glad we touched on a lot of the Middle East stuff and disclosures of. The connections between, I really highly recommend everybody to read all the Ezekiel and Daniel's perspective. But I want, as a closing, what your summation things, in particular with what she had disclosed to you in summation, and then also how they may be able to, people can contact you or check out your videos that you have of her flying her ship. I remember one time I had a interview with you, and while you're doing it, she was flying over your house, and I was like sort of blown away.
Yeah.
So go ahead and please close.
Yeah. So the summation is basically they're watching over us. They're here. They're helping us. They're helping humanity. They're allowed to intervene when they can, when they're allowed to, and they do follow up the plans of various nations. Evil plans, they followed up. And yeah, so if anybody wants to find out more about me and my contacts and see some of the videos, I got a lot of videos on my YouTube channel. It's called my YouTube channel. Just type in Orion Contactee on YouTube and you'll come up with my channel. It's called Orion Contactee. That's all you need. And I have, there's three different links to my three different websites, Orion Research website and my other Pine Bush UFO link is there, and my MySpace page, which has a lot of my contact notes, my actual conversations with Avena annotated, and documented are on my MySpace page, and you'll find those links on my Orion Contactee YouTube channel. So that's all you need there to connect.
Well, Phil, when thank you once again for coming on my show. It's been a long time. And
My pleasure, Andrew. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on again.
Real quickly before I forget, did she give you a sort of anticipated time that you'll be seeing her again?
She has not, and this is one thing I'm concerned about, because we haven't had any real contact outside of a few telepathic signals and a few dreams that I've had since the last time we had a full contact, which was last year. I'm in the engagement now, trying to reach her telepathically and get back into contact with her, but she's not responding, and I'm not getting anything clear. So I assume she's extremely busy, and she's outside of the within other parts of the galaxy. That's why contact is very hard when she's like 800 to 1,000 light years away, and she's been doing various other her duties are called for there, and so I consider I'm being tested as far as this goes. But as soon as I get in contact again, I'll make it known, of course. And
she
allows me to film her ship again, it might happen this summer. I may get a chance. Something may happen this summer again, so we'll see.
Well, feel free to send me any updates, and I'll be happy to disclose any updates on my show for you.
I certainly will.
And Phil, and I really thank you for coming on my show once again. I feel blessed every time I have you on my show. God bless you, and God bless everybody. And thank you all for listening, and all future listeners. And have a glorious, glorious weekend. God bless you, and goodbye. Thank you.